This morning's sermon is the end of the series of Walking with God, our greatest priority and all those things that hinder it. And we are looking this morning at the sermon entitled Emmanuel. I've based it on Luke 24, some verses there, 13 through 15, but we will not hear them until the very end. It's like a cliffhanger. So if you want to know the passage, you're going to have to stick around. I thought people are going to be tempted to walk out of the service after all that has already happened. And so I thought if I put the passage at the end, it will stop people because they wouldn't dare walk out on the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, we bow before your word, and we've celebrated so many things. We've celebrated in song, we've celebrated installation and communion and graduates and the ability to give our offerings. We've celebrated the fact that you invite us into prayer and that we know that you hear our prayer and that you answer prayer. And now, Father, help us to see the study of your word, you speaking to us, help us to see too that this is cause for celebration. You speak to us. You deem us worthy to hear your voice. So speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So walking with God was, as we saw, a focus of the book of Genesis. God said to various people in life, walk with me. It was an invitation, but it was also God's desire because he knew it would be good, it would be best for us if we did walk with him and walk according to his ways. All of Genesis, all of the Bible really, is structured around that theme of walking with God. We saw Eve, right at the beginning, struggling with inadequacy. She struggled with inferiority, really. The devil played on her self-image. You are not good enough. And he tempted her with more. More, even though God had said, all that I have made is good, and behold, very good. You are stamped with my very image. What could be better than that? But it wasn't just Eve that struggled. Abraham struggled as well. Abraham was given the test of priority. Who is first? What is first? What is of most importance? What is life about? What are you about? Are you willing to give yourself completely to me? And when you do that, God proved himself, of course. Are you willing to give up your son? Yes. But please keep your son. He is my gift to you. Let me offer my son instead. After Abraham, of course, there was Joseph. And we saw last week that his was the temptation of pride. In ascending to the top position in Egypt, we saw that Joseph was tempted to revenge and to forget the God who brought him there, who made all he did succeed. And we fall into that trap too, don't we? We look at our lives and all the blessings in it, the homes that we have, the vacations that we can have, the retirement funds that we have saved up that allows us to live comfortably into old age, and we say to ourselves, I've done pretty good. And sometimes we forget that it is God who has walked with you, who has provided for you, who has been with you through thick and thin. And after these characters, what follows in Scripture is a record of people who falter, who stumble in the invitation to walk with God. And we often think of specific sins and failures in when we talk about this faltering and this but it is not only and not necessarily only failure. It comes, this faltering, in many different ways. We see it in distraction. We get distracted by so many things that tempts us to forget about our walk with God. It is sometimes seen in a lack of understanding. We fail to see that the things that happen in our life are guided by God, are in God's control. We don't always understand the ways of God. God is infinitely mysterious. And sometimes it is not until we look back and say, aha. But while you're in it, sometimes things that happen to you are difficult to explain, and they call on us simply to endure and to trust that God is still there. Sometimes our failure is that of commitment. We fail to go all in. And when you don't go all in, when your commitment is half-hearted, the Bible says to us, you cannot serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or you'll love the one and hate the other. And so God is saying, if you want to do this, if you want to live life well, faith is an all-in commitment. Entrust yourself to me and see if I will not answer all the desires of your heart. And perhaps the greatest failure or challenge for us all is apathy. You know, sometimes I meet many people that struggle with doubt, and they really worry that they doubt certain doctrines or doubt certain teachings or doubt that God is still there. And I'm always encouraged when people express doubt. Because something much worse than doubt is apathy. If people simply don't talk about God at all anymore, if they don't care, if they stop showing up, if they stop showing up to express the doubt, I think we are in a worse situation. All of these are examples of the failure, the faltering of walking with God. You know, there are people who meet me too, and they say, I've stopped reading the Bible. It's filled with horrible things. And so I cannot read the Bible anymore. And I wonder whether those people aren't just tired of looking in the mirror. Because really, the story in the Bible, the things that that make those stories terrible are the failures of people that are constant, that are repeated. People continue to be tempted. People continue to disobey. People continue to think that they can walk on their own. And so, yes, the Bible is filled with terrible stories. And in a way, it is the mirror that is held up to each of us. We start to understand the Bible more when we realize that those terrible stories are us. And so stopping to read the Bible because of the terrible stories is walking away from who you are and from being able to connect with the God who lifts you up, who lifts you out of who you are. Well, along with the invitation to walk with God comes a promise. And this is the promise that God makes at the same time. I will walk with you even when you fail and falter and stumble, when you are apathetic, when you lack commitment, when you no longer see this as an important thing in your life. God is faithful in his walk with us. And this is the consistent message of the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see Genesis 28, verse 15. God says to Jacob, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go, and I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Now, Jacob, of course, Jacob was given another name. Jacob was given the name Israel, of course. And Israel means what? Wrestling with God. And again, it should give us a hint of everything that is to follow. Jacob, Israel, wrestling with God. Sure, he was going to falter in his walk. And that is why God says, never forget that I will continue to walk with you even when you are wrestling with who I am. Leviticus 26, verse 11, God makes this promise to his people Israel. He says, I will put my dwelling place among you, and I will not abhor you. I will not forsake you. I will not hate you. I will not leave you. I will not forget my promises to you. I will put my dwelling place among you. Isaiah 41, verse 10, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. The picture I have in all of this is a child walking with a parent. And sometimes the child thinks that they can go. Have you ever walked with a child and they don't want to hold your hand? And they start running around, running into places fraught with danger. Deep ditches of water, dogs, barbed wire, gravel on a road in which you fall. And so as a parent, many strangers, many dangers. And as a parent, you grab the hand in a West Edmonton mall where many people are there and you hold on tightly. I will walk with you. And you will walk with me. I know what is best for you. Stop it. But you do this not to hurt the child or to frustrate the child. You do this out of your great concern and your love for this child. This is the image of God walking with us. So here we have these passages, Genesis, Leviticus, Isaiah. And this is replaced in the New Testament with Emmanuel, God with us. I think a foundational verse in the Bible is John 1, verse 14. The Word, the promise of God, the commands of God, all that God says he is and all that he speaks to us, the Word became flesh. And he made his dwelling among us. Literally, it says he tabernacled among us. And that brings in that Old Testament picture again of everywhere that Israelite people would go, they would set up a tabernacle, a temple. And now Jesus comes and he says, I am going to pitch my tent. Now, why would the Son of God be in a tent? Because when we walk away from him, when we move to another country, when our job takes us elsewhere, when school for you young people who are entering into new schools and new experiences, when you move, Jesus can take his tent, follow you, and pitch in your backyard, wherever that might be. That's the message. I will continue to walk with you. I am Emmanuel, God with you. Have you ever heard this expression, all is well that ends well? Well, it is true also in the Bible, actually. The Bible in the book of Revelation, that final book in the Bible, gives us a picture of heaven, of the way God is going to restore us back to and beyond paradise. Revelation 21, verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, with people, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. This is the picture of the heaven that awaits us, heaven coming down to earth, and God himself pitching his tent among us once again. Well, God still says, walk with me. And the good news is that walking with God doesn't require perfection. It doesn't require a lack of doubt altogether. It doesn't mean that before you can eat the bread and drink the wine and enjoy the presence of Christ, you've got to have it all figured out. You've got to be sinless. You've got to... No, it doesn't mean any of that. The good news is that God will walk with us even when we fail to walk with him. And Emmanuel is not a name that we should draw on once a year at Christmas, because that's usually when we draw on the name Emmanuel. But it is in the everyday that we should experience the presence of Jesus, Emmanuel. And that brings us then to our verse, Luke 24, 13 through 15. Jesus died on the cross, and then there's this rumor that he is resurrected, that he lives again, and the disciples are puzzled, and they are walking and talking about this. And they're saying, how can this be? And some said, well, that can't be. That is impossible. And listen to what happens. Now, that same day, two of them, that is the disciples, were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. How could this be? We were sure that he was the Messiah. He did great things, and he promised all that he would do for us, and he talked about the kingdom of heaven and that it was near, and what has happened? They were distraught and they were puzzled, and now someone was spreading rumors that he was alive. And as they talked, and as they discussed these things, trying to come to some kind of agreement but not being able to, Jesus himself came up and what? And walked along with them. We as a church, we as a denomination, we continue to face many challenges. And we wonder, how is this all going to work? How are we going to manage? Is it going to lead to the breakup of our denomination? How long can we be as a church in this neighborhood? Some of you worry about an aging membership, and others say, no, we have many young children as we saw them in Sunday school. There is a difference of a perspective, there's different viewpoints, there's different opinions. We've been discussing HSR in these listening circles. We've been hearing about the pulse of the denomination and the discussions that are taking place. We are praying currently for Synod as it meets together, started on Friday and continues until Thursday. I encourage you to continue doing that. I encourage all of us, no matter where you stand and what your opinion, that you commit to walking together and talking together. But most importantly, I want you to remember this image. As we discuss and as we falter and as we stumble and as we doubt and as we sometimes are exasperated and sometimes we are frustrated, don't forget to look round. Because before you know it, it will be Jesus that you see walking alongside of you, walking alongside of us, joining the conversation. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your invitation to walk with you. But help us, Father, never to put our confidence in our ability to walk with you and how athletic we are or how committed we are or how perfect our walk is with you. But help us instead to put our confidence in your assurance that you will walk with us. Praise God. Emmanuel. Amen.